From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the sixth day of July 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Harry Cooney from GrowMark will join us to discuss the agricultural energies. He and Todd Hubbs, the FarmDoc team member we usually talk to on Monday, needed to swap out places this week, so we'll talk to Todd tomorrow. Harry, though, will take us through some in-depth look at particularly propane stocks today. It's a good conversation. I hope you can stay with us for that. And we'll also, of course, take up the weather forecast. Extraordinarily important as the corn crop in Iowa is already beginning to enter pollination in some places in the whole month of July. The beginning of August will be important for the corn nick across the United States. We'll discuss that with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand where? Of course, at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On this Monday in Chicago, July corn finished four higher at 346 and a half, December 356 and a quarter, up 2 3/4, and March corn at 367 and a half, up 2 1/2, May contract 373, 2 1/4 higher. July soybeans up 6 at 898 and a half, the November new crop at 906 and a quarter, up 9 1/2, and January beans 9 1/4 higher at $9.10 and a half, the March at 904, up 9 1/4. Bean oil futures 46 cents higher for the day, the bean meal up $1.90, and July soft red winter wheat down 0.5 cent at 489 and a half, the hard red July up 5 1/2 cents at $4.32 3/4 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, August at $100.10 per 100 pounds, up 70 cents. Feeders in the August at $136.15, $1.27 and a half higher, and lean hogs at $44.95, up 22 1/2 cents. Crude oil, 9 cents a barrel higher. Ethanol futures unchanged. Heating oil about a penny higher for the day. They're at $1.24 2/10 cents. That's diesel fuel, and gasoline at $1.24 2/10 cents. It's rare that they're the same price, but they are today. A penny and 6 cents of a cent lower. August natural gas at $1.81 and a half. That's up 8 cents. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average is about 281 points higher. The U.S. dollar is down 0.591, now trading at 96.7. We're joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss what happened in Chicago and talk about the weekend and the weather forecast and how the corn crop across the Midwest is getting along at this point. Hey, Kurt, thanks so much. It was a good day in Chicago, at least if you wanted the marketplace to go higher.
Yeah. First of all, God bless the USA. God bless America. Hope everybody had a great weekend. A lot of patriotic activities took place. But yeah, we saw some strength here out of the chute starting in the overnight trade. Forecast, mainly dry. There's quite a bit of areas looking fairly good, but there's some spots out there that's been shortchanged on moisture. I know locally here we've missed quite a bit of it, and the significance of that is we're entering the tasseling, or to our south, tossling stage or silking stage, and the main thing is Iowa and Minnesota, they're a little bit further along, so they're kind of front and center here. As you look at Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, we're a little bit more spread out due to very unevenness, replant, and so forth. But it's critical, if it's your field, particularly entering that stage with this heat, you like to have some moisture for that plant to work with. There is some potential here as we go into the weekend, a lot of 30%, maybe 40%. But overall, as we go into next week, we're looking at 60% of the Midwest seeing normal rains with above normal temperatures, but 40% of the Midwest will see less than normal rains. So I know Logan County there, they're probably in that 60% area, but up here and through parts of the other parts of the region, we're probably in this 40%. And the significance of this is we've got the acreage out, and we've got an idea, ballpark idea of demand, but what's going to move that bottom line is the yield. When you start moving yield around, particularly on corn, it can move that bottom line quite significant. For example, if you take the 92 planted and have 178.5 bushels an acre, trade's kind of dialed in for the end of the week. We'll see about a 2.5 billion bushel carryout. But if you swing that yield 5 bushels either way, if you add 5 bushels, we could have a 3 billion bushel carryout. But if we lose 5 bushels to the acre, you can take carryout down to about 2 billion bushel. So we're talking about a billion bushel swing on just the yield prospects here as we go through the growing season. So it's going to be quite critical to see these dry areas receive some moisture here in the next week or two, because we're in that time window to see these crops really kick it on here if they can get some moisture. This afternoon's crop conditions report, actually, this morning I thought, well, maybe slight improvement, but as the day wore on, they're looking for a 1% decline in the good excellent category for both corn and beans. Corn's expected to be 72% good excellent as a nation versus 73% last week. And soybean 70% good excellent versus 71% last week. And I think you'll see some deterioration here in these dry pockets in the eastern belt.
On Friday, USDA will update the world agricultural supply and demand estimates. It will incorporate the June 30 grain stocks and acreage numbers. What are the expectations?
On corn, they're a little concerned about the old crop demand. Old crop corn carryout could be maybe 2.3 versus 2.1. Last time go around. Actual feed usage is going to be strong, but they're probably going to tinker with the residual demand. When you look at acres, we're probably going to go from a 15.9 billion bushel crop down to 15 billion bushels. So that takes that carryout closer to 2.5, 2.6 versus 3.3. So, you know, you can incorporate that, move that yield around. That's huge. On the soybean side, carryouts near 600 million bushels versus about 580. Trying to take the exports a little lower here. I know we're late in the marketing season, but you know, we still have time to sell and move this crop out. We did sell another 264,000 tons of beans to China this morning, so you know, that counts as we move forward in through here. As far as the new crop, probably closer to that 395. Million bushel carryout estimate. I don't know if we'll see a whole lot of change in there. But the key is incorporating the acres and probably using still a trend line yield, just the fact we're not really far enough along to adjust it a whole lot probably.
Anything producers should do with old crop corn?
I think you got to use these moves up here to get caught up to where you want to be. I like moving the cash grain, replacing a little bit in case we have something later on in August. Short term in here, we still have a crop to move, even though basis is firm. There's some pretty good bids out there if you look around. And the virus continues to be in the back of everybody's mind, so that might kind of keep a lid on things. We're going to have to be dry through next week to really get the market rolling in through here. So I think you got to continue looking for some opportunities. The simplest thing to do is put a price floor under you and kind of let the thing run. If you want to hang on to the cash grain here for a while, there's nothing wrong with that. New crop wise, what we've been looking at to kind of get our foot in the door, but get us some flexibility. So I think the cash grain guys call it a mid-max contract, but we like buying a put option to put a floor under us. At the same time, sell a call option to help pay for it. So you have a price floor, but if the market goes higher, you'll have the opportunity to be short at a higher level. So there's a lot of creative marketing strategies out there. But as a whole, we're not going to have a complete disaster across the Midwest. And I think some strength in here, you got to kind of reward the market here to get to where you want to be.
Anything on beans before I let you go? Very quickly.
On the soybeans, the key in the November beans today is we closed above that chart gap in that 903 area. We closed at 906 and a quarter November soybeans. We now look for the next resistance level will be 925 in the soybean complex. So technically, it's good. We put in the 10-week low. last week in both these commodities. There is a full moon out there, so hopefully that's not a sign the sizzles and drizzles going to change.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Take care.
That's Kirk Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joined us here on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. You can find and listen to our programming online at willag.org, willag.org. Or if you prefer to use a podcast application, just look us up. Closing Market Report or Commodity Week, either one should show up. And SoundCloud, Stitcher, NPR One, Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast too. On this Monday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse. Thanks so much, Mark, for being with us today.
Glad to be here, Todd.
Well, farmers want to know, and so does the market. What does this week look like? What does next week look like? And then the following couple of weeks, because we'll be in the midst of, somewhere in there, a whole lot of nick that will need to happen in the corn across the Midwest.
Well, Todd, looking ahead, let's talk big picture first. For the next couple of weeks, we are expecting a bias of above normal temperatures and below normal rainfall across much of the central U.S., including in that the Midwest and on into the plains. Now, breaking things down a bit, we are going to see at least this week with the hottest temperatures, which are really from now through about Friday, highs climbing into the 90s, and then out across the plains in like Nebraska and Kansas, highs will be above 100 degrees. In terms of rainfall, we are forecasting approximately 55% of the Midwest to receive amounts above 3/10 of an inch this week, with around 25-30% receiving above an inch. And it's looking like the favorite area for rain is not here in Illinois, but rather the northwest part of the belt in Minnesota, eastern Dakotas, as well as a few pockets there of western Iowa and eastern Nebraska. Now, for next week, starting out the week, there's going to be a little bit break in temperatures. And what we're going to see here is actually kind of a rebuild of heat out across the southwestern U.S. and the plains, but kind of retreat back to more normal levels here. But it looks like then as we get into that 11 to 15 day forecast timeframe, that the heat begins to build back into the Corn Belt. And that also looks to generally keep, you know, rainfall below normal across most areas. So with the heat that we're seeing right now or for the next couple of weeks, as well as the longer term forecast, it's looking like this July is going to be the hottest July in the Midwest since 2012.
With the heat, it'll be important just exactly how high that is. Something over 93 degrees for daytime highs gets to be pretty tough for a corn crop. And then it also needs about an inch of rainfall a week. What are your thought processes on both of those?
Yeah, in terms of maximum temperatures above 93 degrees, certainly the central and western portions of the Corn Belt, including here in Illinois, have that elevated risk on the hottest days, with then kind of peak heat being further west into Nebraska and Kansas, where high temperatures look to be above 100 degrees. And, even need to talk about minimum temperatures as well. That's also going to be elevated here across the Midwest, with minimum temperatures generally in the 70s and maybe even a few low 80s west. And then along with that, too, the 1 inch of rainfall, again, that looks more favored, kind of more north and northwest here coming up per week. And the one area, though, that looks least likely to pick up widespread 1 inch amounts, that's here in Illinois.
So July then setting up to be a difficult month for the corn crop with a lack of rainfall and high heat, depending on which side of the Corn Belt you happen to be on. What do you see for the first week of August?
Oh, good question there, Todd. Obviously, the further you go out, the harder, the bigger the challenge here to forecast. But what we can't say right now is that you know, are kind of entering the doldrums of summer. It's pretty rare for things to change dramatically from July into the early part of August. So right now, would be our leaning would be for persistence of the pattern into early August. That's kind of the early read on this at this stage of the season.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois. We're now joined by Harry Cooney. He's a GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry. Thanks for being with us on this Monday. I know you're busy tomorrow. And as it turns out, Todd Hubbs, who we normally talk to, for Ag Economist from here on campus, is busy today. So we're just going to swap you around. I appreciate you doing that for me.
Well, that sounds great, Todd, on a hot summer afternoon. Boy, it's sure warm out there.
It is hot, and during the summer, Americans tend to drive a lot of miles. They tend to go on vacation. I'm wondering whether we can see that in the gasoline usage or whether the pandemic is still holding us back to a great deal.
The pandemic is – that's a real good question. I mean, the pandemic is still holding us back to a certain extent. However, gasoline demand has come back quite a bit. Gasoline demand was extremely cut there right during, I'd say the month of April and into early May. However, since then, it's come back quite a bit. Now, diesel demand wasn't hit nearly as much as gasoline demand was, but gas demand has come back quite a bit. We're right into the middle of the driving season here now, and with the 4th of July holiday just behind us, the numbers, I think, this week in the report should come out pretty strong. However, they won't be anything like what the five-year average would be or what last year's numbers were.
What are the things that you're watching in the agricultural energy market most closely at this time?
Well, we're watching, it's interesting, over in propane, we're watching the lack of strong builds here in the summertime. That's one thing I'm watching real closely. So for anybody that needs to get some propane brought in to do some summer fill activities, whether it's home heat or whether it's for grain drying, probably be talking to your local FS member cooperative about the programs they offer, and especially their summer fill opportunities for you, because, like I say, some of these stock numbers that come out, and they come out weekly, by the way, have not shown the build in propane stocks, especially here in the Midwest, like we would normally see. And why that's important is because the 4 weeks of the month of June, so you might as well say the month of June, is when propane stocks tend to give their largest builds of the entire year, on a weekly basis, that is. So the 4 weeks in June tend to be your largest builds. We had only one of the 3 weeks that gave above normal builds. So that's one market we're watching. The other market we're watching pretty closely is the diesel fuel market. Here in the summertime, look for opportunities to fill tanks ahead of harvest. You know, it's hard to tell how big a harvest we'll have. That remains to be seen, and quite a bit up to Mother Nature here. But there's a great potential out there for a good crop if we can get some timely rains. So we'll probably need quite a bit of fuel for harvest. And so look for opportunities there also. Stocks are good there, though. Stocks are not tight, but prices are still very reasonable compared to history.
Is there a reason that the build has not happened in propane?
Well, definitely, because propane comes from two sources mainly. The refining process. So a refinery puts off some propane in the refining process. Also then the natural gas stream, propane comes out of the natural gas stream. So natural gas prices have been very low. In fact, natural gas prices hit some lows we haven't seen in a number of years here recently. So that's one reason. But also from the refining process, the products gasoline and diesel fuel demand have been down so much that refineries have reduced their rates of operation. And thus, when you reduce the rates of operation, then you reduce the output of not just the gasoline and diesel fuel, but you also reduce the operating rates and the production of propane. And if you look at Midwest refineries, I think in the report last week, they were probably running 80 to 82% somewhere in there. And to just give you an idea, last year at the same time, if I remember the numbers, they're up around 95%. So again, they're at least 10% or more below where they would normally be at this time of the year.
So if the build isn't happening and propane is generally stored underground, if I remember correctly, in rock structures, what does that mean going into the fall? And when would this generally be, when would this generally be consumed? So is it what we put in place now consumed in the fall? Is it for wintertime months used for heating? When does it get used? And has propane price responded by going up?
Well, in the first place, I need to clarify there. Builds are occurring in propane, just not to the extent, though, that they normally would be. So it's not that builds are not occurring. They're building inventories. It's just not quite to the level they'd normally be. And in answer to your second question, it's to both. Yeah, it's the grain drying in the fall and the home heat. So what we're putting in inventory here now will be used for both of them. And let's talk about price. Prices come up some. However, the propane price is so hinged to the price of crude oil, and crude oil around $40 a barrel here this week. Propane hasn't had any big rally. Now, it probably has almost doubled from its extreme low that it had back in March in the spot market in there. So it has come up in percentage terms quite a bit from that low, but it hasn't got on any big long bull market because of this yet. But if the bills continue light and if the demand would be strong in the fall and winter, prices could stay very firm.
And this generally is all pipeline. It's not coming up at the Mississippi and Illinois River, so we don't have to worry about the closure there.
That's right. That's right. The majority of it's pipeline. You do have some rail terminals scattered in there, but the vast majority of it is pipeline. What's happened in the past 5, 10, 15 years, though, those pipelines, as we call them, the garden hoses that are stretched across the Midwest, they haven't been expanded in size at all. So at times when we have more tanks set out in the country, it's great for the propane industry, great for demand, great for sales. However, the infrastructure to service those has definitely not been upgraded, especially the pipelines themselves. A number of companies like Growmark has invested in some rail terminals around the Midwest, which has helped alleviate some of the problem. But those pipelines haven't been increased in size.
Hey, Harry, thank you so much for all the explanation today. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney at Growmark in Bloomington, Illinois. He helps us wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.